tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 27th of April, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we often hear about the lack of freedom of speech that we have in Britain and elsewhere, but it's not so often that we hear about our lack of freedom of association. We have no freedom of association in Britain. And I think this is something that most people don't really care to think about. But if you did have freedom of association, you would be free to discriminate against those that you wished not to associate with. And we are specifically not allowed to do that. Or so I thought. I have two news articles today to get into, which show that it's perfectly fine to discriminate against people on the basis of association if you happen to be Jewish or if you happen to be Muslim. And we're specifically talking about actually renting out houses here as well. And when we think of this, we often think by association. We think of these signs that we were told used to be up in the 60s and the 70s saying no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. And this is often cited as being a terrible thing that went on 40 years ago, where people just discriminated against blacks, Irish and pet owners. Where today we still have the same thing going on, where Jews can discriminate against anybody who is not Jewish, apparently. And this has been challenged in court. And the court has decided that it's perfectly fine to do this because the people doing it are Jews. And they pretty much admit that as well, as we'll see at the end of the article. We'll take the version that I found in the Daily Mail. And the headline is Jewish Housing Association can legally give homes to only Orthodox Jews, says Supreme Court, after a mother of four complained that they had property empty while she was on a waiting list, and she was from that area as well. A housing association is entitled to prioritise members of the Orthodox Jewish community in order to alleviate the disadvantages they experience, the Supreme Court has ruled. So they've managed to find some disadvantages, apparently, that Orthodox Jews suffer from. And I think you'll be quite surprised to hear what they are when we actually get to them. In fact, I'll tell you now, one of them is poverty. Apparently, Orthodox Jews live in poverty, and therefore, if they have a housing estate which is just specifically for Jews, that will alleviate some of the poverty. And the other reason given is that Jews are subject to criticism, effectively anti-Semitism. And since it's only Jews that can suffer from anti-Semitism, what they're effectively saying here is that it's okay for Jews to discriminate because they're Jews. They can do this. They can exclude anybody who is not Jewish from getting a council house in that area simply because they're Jews, simply because they might experience anti-Semitism, and apparently giving them their own housing estate will lessen the chances of this anti-Semitism, I guess. But considering the majority of anti-Semitism nowadays is online, I don't think giving them their own housing estate is really going to prevent that. A panel of five justices unanimously ruled on Friday, so there was no question about this. They all agreed that it is proportionate for the North London-based Aquidas Israel Housing Association, the AIHA, to adopt a policy which means that it only accepts Orthodox Jews. So this, it is proportionate, they say, even though it discriminates against 99% of the population in Britain. The court dismissed an appeal by a mother of four, known only as Zed, who has four small children, two of whom have autism, who argued that AIHA and Hackney Council unlawfully discriminated against her and her family. And I should imagine she was looking at that and thinking, well, I've got two children that have autism. Surely it's more important that they have a roof over their heads than somebody who might experience criticism of their group online. The woman took her case to the Supreme Court after losing challenges in the High Court and the Court of Appeal. So all the way through, she was just losing, apparently. So all of the judges appeared to be taking the side of the Jews in this. Giving the lead ruling, Lord Sales said the lower courts took account of the small impact of the policy on people outside the Orthodox Jewish community when considering the case. So they see it's just a small impact that somebody can't actually get a house in the area that they are from. And I would suggest that in actual fact, there's a large impact here because it's 99% of the population which aren't going to be able to get a house in that area. So I'd say that was a large impact because it impacts 99% of the entire population of Britain. So when you look at it from that point of view, then it's actually quite a large impact that the policy has on people outside of Orthodox Jewry. He said it was proportionate for AIHA to adopt an allocation policy which aimed to meet the particular needs and alleviate the particular disadvantages experienced by members of the Orthodox Jewish community as a group in connection with their religion. Well, is it not possible then, if this sets a precedent, is it not possible then that white people could say that they wish to be housed in an area that alleviates their particular disadvantages? Perhaps disadvantages that they experience of being white might be the grooming gang epidemic. It might be that young white girls are predominantly the victims of these gangs, which are predominantly Pakistani Muslims. So in order to alleviate that particular disadvantage, you could put them on a housing estate, for instance, which was just all white people. You could apply this exact same policy and idea that Orthodox Jews are doing. You could apply that to white people, surely. Well, of course, you can't do that because you'd be accused of being racist if you did that. In assessing the proportionality of the policy in the light of that aim, the courts below were entitled to weigh the benefits for that community as a group as compared with the disadvantages experienced by other groups as a result, rather than by comparing the benefits for that community with the disadvantage suffered by one person drawn from those other groups falling outside the policy. Yes, but this one person represents anybody that's outside of this policy. Surely the effect is that 99% of the country are being discriminated against here. And I would say that that's a very large disadvantage, not a small disadvantage. What they're saying here is because it was just this one woman, look, it benefits all of these Jews, but it disadvantages just this one woman. So therefore, it's better that we give an advantage to all of these Jews, surely. And what I'm suggesting is that it's not just one woman, is it? She's just representative of the 99% of the population who are actually being discriminated against here. In a statement after the ruling, AIHA Chief Executive Eta Simons said, "Since we started, our focus has always been to ensure that we provide appropriate social housing to those members of the Orthodox Jewish community who need it." Social housing, that's council houses. That's effectively the council here, which is discriminating against people who are not Jewish and not giving them a house in this area. They continued, "We began as a small group of motivated individuals who saw a local need within our community and built an organisation to fill that need." And of course, I'm not saying that it's wrong that they're actually doing this, because I think you should be able to set up associations and you shouldn't be forced to have to extend your charity to other groups. The problem is, as white people, we're not allowed to do that. It's not a problem that the Jews are doing this. It's not a problem that Muslims are doing this. The problem is that white people are not allowed to do this. I'm not saying that these other groups should be banned from doing it. I'm saying that white people should be allowed to do it too. She continued, "We are proud that we have worked successfully alongside Hackney Local Authority for so many years, and that hundreds of families have benefited from our work." So effectively, this organisation probably passes over Jews' details, Jews that need to be housed. They pass them over to the council, the Hackney Local Authority, and Hackney Local Authority puts them all in one place, effectively, nicely segregated from the rest of the population. We have, and again, we're told that it's such a dreadful thing that we used to have these ghettos, and that Jews used to be beyond the pale of settlement is where they used to live. It was called beyond the pale, and they used to live separately. And we're told that this is a terrible, terrible thing. And yet here we're being told that it's a very good thing. And in actual fact, it prevents the Jews from being disadvantaged, and it alleviates their poverty. So you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't say that in the past, when Jews had to live outside of the Christian settlement, you can't say that that was a terrible thing and it discriminated against the Jews, and now say, oh, well, this is a good thing. It's good that the Jews have their own housing here, and they're perfectly entitled to do that, because we were told that we're not entitled to do that. We're not entitled to exclude Jews from where we live. But it's okay when it's the other way around and Jews see it that actually they're excluding the white people from having to live near them. And they say, "We have invested a huge amount in today's judgment, and it now proves beyond any doubt that our policies have been vindicated and protect members of our community." And I'm wondering quite what they mean by that. We have invested a huge amount in today's judgment. Are they alleging there that they paid off the judges? Surely not, but it's a bit of a strange way to put it, isn't it? We have invested a huge amount into today's judgment. Mrs. Simons added, "If this case had gone the other way, it could have had serious ramifications for the entire faith charity sector. Whilst it was never our intention to provide more than housing for our community, I think today's judgment means that we will have a much wider impact, and that our work will enable other faith charities to continue to provide for their communities for the foreseeable future." And I guess this is one of the ways that they get around it. They can say that it's religion rather than ethnicity. I mean, this is one of the things that Jews have been known to do over the years, isn't it? In one argument, they'll claim that it's a religion and a faith, and in another argument, they will claim that it's an ethnicity, whichever one is going to benefit them best, I guess. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's just that it's different for everybody else, isn't it? Hackney Council identified Zed as having a priority need for social housing in a larger property, and the family have now been found suitable accommodation. Yes, but she ended up having to live in temporary housing for a long time because she was being discriminated against because she was not Jewish. She was in temporary housing from September 2017, and had to wait longer to be housed in a suitable property because larger properties owned by AIHA, which became vacant, were not available to her. Imagine that. She's looking around and she can see that there are these empty properties which she could be living in with her family and her two autistic sons. And she's been told, well, you can't have them. That's for when the Jews need them. So they're empty. They haven't actually got Jews in them, but they're going to stay empty until we find some Jews to put in them. Imagine that. Instead of having a long council waiting list to actually get on the council, it sounds like these Jews here, they would just get housed straight away because there's no waiting list. There's empty houses. There's literally no waiting list and empty houses. Giving their ruling in February last year, two High Court judges noted that she had lived in Stamford Hill all her life and wanted to stay in the area to be near her mother, whose essential support she relied upon, and her eldest child's specialist school. The judges found that the disadvantages faced by Orthodox Jews, including, number one, very high levels of poverty and deprivation, and number two, the widespread and increasing overt anti-Semitism in our society, were both real and substantial. So effectively, by saying the reason for this is because of anti-Semitism. They're saying, well, the reason for this is that they're Jewish, isn't it? Aren't they? Aren't they really? Because it's only Jews that can suffer from anti-Semitism. So they're saying, well, they can do this because they're Jews. And the disadvantages faced by Orthodox Jews, poverty, high levels of poverty and deprivation. But aren't Jews able to borrow money without having to pay any interest? They literally don't have to pay any interest because they take notice of the laws within their religion, which say that they should not charge interest to members of their own ethnic group. And they do this. It's one of the commendable things that they do. So I don't really see how Jews could have high levels of poverty. I mean, they're associated with people with money-lending practices and with the sale of gold, aren't they? They aren't really associated with begging on the streets and living in poverty. Perhaps maybe that might have been the case a couple of hundred years ago, but it's certainly not the case now. The sort of roles that we see Jews in now are things like politicians and newsreaders, journalists, news producers rather, TV producers, music producers. We see Jews in a lot of prominent positions. We don't really associate them with high levels of poverty and deprivation. I would say that it's the white working class that actually end up having high levels of poverty and deprivation. I mean, they are the group that is the most let down by society. They're the group that is least likely to go to university, far less likely to go to university than even if you're Black Caribbean. And I should imagine that Jews are very likely to go to university, and a high proportion of the professors at the universities are actually Jewish as well. Maybe the difference here is because they're referring to Orthodox Jews, and I mean that might make things a little bit different. Orthodox Jews do have a lot of rituals that they have to observe, and I do hear that in some of these Jewish housing estates that they have in America, a lot of these Orthodox Jews are all claiming unemployment benefits and food stamps because they devote all their time to reading the Talmud and having as many children as possible. So, I mean, it could be because they are Orthodox Jews and not just any old Jew, your common or garden Jew. They're Orthodox Jews. I mean, it may be that you know, it may be genuine that they do actually have these high levels of poverty, in which case, what makes that any different from a single mother who is also having to get by on benefits with her children? I think this is a flawed decision. I think they're reasoning for it that, oh, the advantages far outweigh the disadvantage of just this one woman not being able to get a house. But it's not just this one woman, is it? It's everybody who isn't Jewish is not able to get a house. I mean, she was just the representation of that. And I think the clue as to the real reason for this is where it says it's there to alleviate the widespread and increasing anti-Semitism in our society. So they're effectively saying, because they're Jews, they shouldn't have to live alongside other people. They should be able to live on their own. And as such, they're effectively the only group in society who is allowed to segregate their communities and live apart from the other peoples, which is bizarre, isn't it, when you consider how much they like multiculturalism and how much the representatives of their community are always calling for more multiculturalism and more refugees and such like. But it seems that the Orthodox Jews themselves would rather not actually have any multiculturalism. They would rather live in segregated communities. Well, as I say, that's the Jewish version of this story out of the way. And the next one is about Muslims. And I'm taking this from GB News. The headline is, Muslim-only flat rentals illegally advertised by London landlords. The offending listings include ads for Muslim boys and girls or Punjabi speakers. And again, I have to say, I don't really have a problem with this. If somebody is Muslim and they want to help their Muslim community and only rent out their flat to somebody else who is Muslim, that to me is just common sense that you would do that. And this is why these Muslims have done this, because they can't really compute that there's anything wrong in doing this. And there is nothing wrong in doing this. these laws were put in place to penalise white people, to prevent white people from doing this. Because if white people had been allowed to do this, they would have been able to keep out the multiculturalism. They would have been able to keep out these waves of foreign people that have come into Britain, because nobody would have rented anywhere to them. That's the reason why we have these laws. It's so that they can force multiculturalism upon white people. And I guess people that are Muslim, they're not going to think of it in that way, are they? They're just going to think of it as, well, that's a law that benefits us. But surely it doesn't mean that we can't rent out our flat to Muslims. It's my flat. I'll rent it out to whoever I want to rent it out to. And that's because it's common sense that you should be able to do that. But we're not allowed to do that in Britain because we don't have freedom of association. Let's have a look at the article here. Muslim-only flat rentals have been illegally advertised by landlords across London, an investigation has found. The listings are a breach of the Equality Act 2010, which prohibits discrimination on the grounds of sexuality, race, gender, and religion. And that's effectively saying you do not have freedom of association. As far as sexuality, race, gender and religion goes, exactly the same as you do not have freedom of speech. And yet we were told that we went to the Second World War in order to protect our freedoms. And yet the most essential freedoms, the freedom of speech and the freedom of association, have been taken away from us since the end of that war. It really makes you question, doesn't it, whether we actually won the war after all. Posts across several listing sites request the potential tenants to be specifically Muslim boys, girls or Punjabi speakers. On the website of real estate agency Roshan Properties, the company advertises rentals for two Muslim boys or two Muslim girls. And again, to me, that just seems common sense that people like to be among their own community. It's quite natural to want to be among your own community. Muslims understand this. They understand it. That's why they group together. They would rather be living amongst other Muslims. They don't like multiculturalism. They come to Britain because they can make more money here, because the country is better kept, it's more advanced, there's more social care, there's just more of everything than there is in Pakistan. That's why they come here. But once they're here, they don't want to have white neighbours, they want to have Muslims for neighbours. They want to be among their own people. And when you talk to them, it's very easy to explain to them all about what white nationalism is and what nationalism is, because they just understand it as exactly the same for them. Muslim nationalism, they want to live amongst other Muslims. White people want to live amongst other white people. You know, there's no disagreement there. In fact, the only disagreement there might be is with immigration, is with whether we should have more of them come over here. And of course, they are going to be supportive of more of their people coming over here, aren't they? Just the same as naturally we would be supportive of not having any more people coming over here. And the fact that we have white people that advocate for multiculturalism and for more immigration, it just shows that they're not wired up correctly. It just shows that they're suicidal, isn't it, really? Because they're advocating for the suicide of their own ethnic group. And that just shows you how propagandized we are today. Other listings across Facebook, Gumtree and Telegram demand Punjabi and Gujarati speakers or Kerala and Haryana people. The Telegraph revealed. So this isn't just going on with one group, it's going on with multiple groups on multiple websites. The affected listings seeking out religious groups are being advertised across London's boroughs, including Ilford, Dagenham and Harrow. Ilford is home to a high Muslim population, with Muslims making up around 41% of the borough's population, with 45,000 residents. So almost half of the borough is made up of Muslims. Of course they're going to want to live amongst other Muslims, aren't they? And they can do this, they can advertise this, and I doubt whether they'll get any pushback. But if you're a white person and you live in Ilford and you want to rent your flat out and you advertise, I would like to rent my flat out to a white person or a white Christian, you're going to get prosecuted. You're going to possibly end up being sent to jail and accused of hate speech and accused of being a racist and far right. for doing that. This is the problem here. It's not that Muslims are doing this. The problem is that white people are not allowed to do this. Meanwhile, Dagenham is home to around 53,389 Muslims, and Harrow has around 41,503 Muslims. And I think Dagenham used to be a white place because the BNP used to do very well there, and I believe the Labour Party shipped in loads of Muslims specifically to swamp the borough with Muslims so that the BNP would not be able to get in. And you can see there how demographics are used to manipulate the results of elections. I mean, they talk about Russian meddling in elections by showing the Russia Today news service. I mean, that's got nothing on shipping in a completely different demographic into the country in order to change the election results. In the listings, some attempted to divide the lines on religious grounds by listing alcohol and smoke-free properties in the advertisement. And that's quite a clever one, isn't it? They can get around it by just by saying, well, we don't allow alcohol in this flat. And you're likely, possibly you might get alcoholics that have given up drinking. But also you'd be very likely to get Muslims, wouldn't you? Because alcohol is haram. Landlords, however, are not permitted to seek out specific religious groups or specific ethnicities when seeking tenants. And that just seems so wrong to me. If you own a house, it should be up to you who you want to rent that house. Same as if you have a business. It should be up to you who you really want to sell things to in a business. And yet we're not allowed to do that either. And I guess if you were doing that and you were refusing people at a business, it might cause problems. People might say, well, you're discriminating against me. But providing that there are other businesses and it's not a monopoly, then you can always move on and use somebody else's business, can't you? I mean, the problem with this is we have this with banks, for instance, and that's a monopoly. A bank will say, I don't want to do business with you. I don't have to actually give you any reason why I don't want to do business with you. And of course, it's because the person is a nationalist. They don't have to actually give a reason, and they can just withdraw their services. And they'll say, oh, yes, but there are other banks that you can join. But once this has happened with one bank, it becomes very, very difficult to get banking with another banking service. So as far as monopolies are concerned, which I suggest banking are, you shouldn't be able to do this. But as far as anything else is concerned, if there is a multiple of shops that are selling whatever it is that you're selling, then really you should be free to say, well, I only want to sell to the certain people that I want to sell to. And we do see this in a way. We see black businesses saying that this is black business. We want to make the money for black people. If you want to help the black community, then buy at this business. And again, why can we not do that with white businesses? Why is it that Grammar Towers gets referred to as a racist tea selling site or tea shop? When effectively Grandma Towler's just sells tea and says that a portion of that money will be donated back into the white community. I mean, what is wrong with doing that? I mean, it may not even say white community because they might possibly get accused of discrimination. I mean, they can give the money to whoever they like, can't they, really? They can donate it to whoever they like. As I say, the problem here is that white people are not allowed to say, I want to rent my flat out only to another white person. There is some leeway within the law for a single person renter making the request who is letting out a room within their home and shared accommodation. Of course, that's quite sensible, isn't it? If you've got a girl, for instance, in a house with two rooms in it, she wants to rent out a room. She's not going to want to rent that out to a bloke, is she? She's just going to want to rent that out to somebody of the same gender as her, the same sex as her. But it's the same with race. I mean, it's the same with ethnicity. You're going to be safer amongst people from your own group, or at least you're going to feel safer amongst people from your own racial group instinctively. I mean, you might be a multiculturalist and you might deny your instincts and pretend that you don't have these instincts. But everybody does. Everybody feels safer amongst people from their own family, from their own extended family, rather than with somebody who speaks a different language, looks completely different, has completely different body language, completely different customs, of course you're going to be more at home with your own people. Equally, property owners might highlight specific dietary requirements, including allergies and vegetarianism. However, seeking out specific racial groups by outlining such requirements is not permitted and could lead to civil action. And of course, this is why they're highlighting this. They're trying to say, oh, this is terrible. Look at these Muslims discriminating against white people. Of course, my answer is, well, I don't think it's terrible at all. I think the problem is that white people are not allowed to do the same. Of course, this is GB News, they then have to go to the Reform Party for a quote on it. Reform UK's Treasury spokesman, Robert Jenrick, that's the former immigration secretary for the Conservative Party, Robert Jenrick, who brought all the Afghans into the country. He blasted the disgusting and anti-British adverts. It goes without saying that there would be a national outrage if the tables were turned, he told The Telegraph. Well, that's what's wrong. That's what the problem is, because it's quite a natural thing to want to do. The Newark MP declared all forms of racism were unacceptable and a religious group should not get a special exemption to discriminate. Well, we should all be allowed to discriminate. What is so wrong with discrimination? When you're a child, you discriminate between what is good to eat and what is bad to eat. And from then on, all of education is about discriminating between one object and another. And the more you can discriminate, the more you can get your definitions down, the more you can hone those down into specific definitions, then the better your education is going to be. The more you're going to be able to describe what it is that you're seeing. You're going to be better able to measure things. The whole of education is down to discrimination between one object and another. And yet we're told that discrimination is this terrible thing and that we should not be doing it. And I think it's pretty fundamental that we actually have discrimination. It's something that we learn to do from a very young age. Discriminate between what is good and what is evil, what is good for us and what is bad for us. Discriminate between one object and another. Under the Renters' Rights Act, local authorities are able to issue fines of up to £7,000 if a landlord is liable for discrimination, including racial and religious prejudice. If the fined individual is liable for continuous breaches, a further fine can be issued of up to £7,000. However, if a repeat breach occurs, the fine can be doubled. And I would have thought it would have been more, actually. If you were offering somewhere and you said, I don't want to rent my property out to blacks, I think you could get this fine of £7,000, but they might also accuse you of inciting hate and go after you under the Public Order Act as well. A Gumtree spokesman said, Gumtree has clear policies in place that prohibit unlawful discrimination, and we take reports of inappropriate listings very seriously. The ads referenced appear to relate to private rooms within shared homes, where existing occupants may express preferences about who they live with. This is different from renting out an entire property, which is subject to stricter rules under the Equality Act. However, we expect all users to advertise responsibly and inclusively. We actively monitor listings and have tools in place for users to report content they believe breaches our policies, which we actively review and will take action on where appropriate. We are continuing to review listings in this area to ensure they meet both our guidelines and our legal requirements. And GB News has also approached Roshan Properties for comment. Clearly, they didn't get a comment back from them. But what this shows is that we do not have freedom of association in our country if we are white people. If you're Jewish, you do have freedom of association. You can exclude non-Jews from your council estate. And if you're a Muslim, you can exclude non-Muslims from renting a place from you. But if you're a white British man, then you are not. You are explicitly not allowed to advertise only to white people. In fact, that is seen as a heinous sin, as we said before, when we had these signs in the 60s and 70s saying no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. you're not allowed to say that. But if you're effectively saying no white people or no white Christians, well, that's absolutely fine, isn't it? And again, I mean, it's such common sense that we should be able to do this. This is why Muslims do it, because it's just common sense. It's your property. You should be able to rent it to whoever you like. I think you'd actually have difficulty explaining to Muslims why it would be wrong for them to do this. Because, as I say, because I don't believe it is wrong. It's just that the law should be applied equally, and we should have freedom of association, whether we're white, whether we're Jewish, whether we're Muslim. We should all have freedom of association. And we don't have that, because we're not as free in the United Kingdom as we think we are. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.